Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Doctrine of Truth. Your host, Bishop Poole. And we would like to have you be a special guest with us, express your opinion about today's topic. And we're basically setting the program on grassroots and from one opinion to another opinion and what you experience and what we experience. And also on the Word of God, that is our final authority, the King James Bible, Amplified Bible, the New International Bible, and the New American Standard Bible. We're talking today and I'd like to share with you concerning, you know, problems. How can we live in problems and be a winner? How can we grow and live in problems and be a winner? Notice here one of the scriptures from 1 Peter out of the King James. We're going to give you three different translations this morning, and we thank God for you. If you'd like to call in at 1-347-215-8816. 347-215-8816. 1-347-215-8816. This is Doctrine of Truth. The Bible says, out of mouth of two or three witnesses, let my word be established. As well as Proverbs speaks of, in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Christian suffering, and those of you that have problems, and sometimes is it a problem or is it just inconveniences? You know, we have to define whether or not this is really a problem, because problems come to try your faith, and if it does not challenge your faith, in other words, you're saying that, okay, I'm going to leave God. This thing here is involving my faith in God. I'm going to leave God. That's not a problem. That's inconveniences. You know, you want cold water, you want some things that go in your life, and maybe you're just growing in Christ. Just growing in Christ, and you find yourself being just, you know, you're not comfortable at this time, and many people are not because their lifestyle have been drastically changed because of the storms and the economy and environmental change. That's inconveniences, but it's nothing should taste or change your walk with Christ. Now Paul said, "There's no height, no width, no depth and separate me from the love of God." Now, there are some challenging things. There are some challenging things. And this, notice what Peter, 1 Peter said in the King James. See, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial is to try you as though some strange things happen unto you. But rejoice, as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceedingly joy. Now notice what the Amplified Translation says, that beloved, be not amazed and bewildered at the fervent ordeal which is taking place to test your qualities, that though something strange, unusual, and alien to you and your position were befalling you, but in so much as you are sharing Christ's suffering, rejoice, so that when his glory fulfilled raiments and splendor is revealed, you may also rejoice with triumphs. Notice again, in the New American Standard, I'm reading from 1 Peter, the 4th chapter and the 12th verse out of all four of these translations. Now we're in 1 Peter 4 and 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the ferment ordeal among you, which come upon you for your testing, as though some strange things were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the suffering of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also that the revelation of his glory may be rejoiced with exclusions. The New International Bible speaks of, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trials you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participated in the suffering of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Now, in your testing and your trials, and you never expected this to happen, in your growth with Christ, you find out that things wasn't going the way you expected to go. You know, Christ had carried all our trials and tribulation, but it's strange to you that you have to pay the price, you know, for success of others. Now remember that Peter said, don't think it's strange. Now Paul made a quote in the book of Romans, said, you know, the great crowd of witnesses that going on before us, you know, there are other people, there are others suffering, others being tried, others being inconvenient, but remember, this should not be, whatever the condition or situation is, it should not be for the point they say, okay, now, you know, I'm going to abandon Christ. I'm going to abandon Christ because my faith in him is not as strong as I thought it would be. And, you know, now at this point in my life or this situation, I don't have to take this. I don't have to go through this. But notice what Paul said in Romans 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Okay, what's being said now? As you become a part of a family, a new family, because God believes in families. He started the first family, Adam and Eve, and he always worked with families, and he told them to be fruitful and multiply. That's why we have so many human beings, because God is a good businessman. He wants to have profit in whatever he's doing. Notice what the New International translation says. Wherefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Now, the Amplified Version is saying that, therefore then, seeing we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have been born testimonies of the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every unnecessary weight and that sin which so easily and cleverly cling and entangle us, and let us run with patience, enduring and steady and actively persevering an appointed course of the race that is set before us. You see, there are many other people in the world has taken on Christ, the lifestyle, want to change their lifestyle, and we have to strip off those things that would entangle the lifestyle that you feel or the people that you feel, and you got to choose another surroundings. You have to choose another group of people that are walking with you, some with faith, some without faith, some with little faith, some are just growing in Christ, and you have to choose and you have to build your lifestyle again to whereby if you need counseling or whereby you need an encouraging word, you know, so we spoke about it in the last session concerned about discouragement, how people would come and give you discouragement. And Paul said that he have learned that whatever state he is in, you know, he have learned to be abased and be abound. He have learned to be poor, be rich. He had learned to have plenty, to have little, you know. So we need to learn, you know, to be abound in Christ because Christ loves us regardless. He loves us and he cared for us regardless because we didn't have to pay for our salvation. We just had to believe in him, believe that he took all of our trials and tribulations and troubles on him before we were born. So where we are now? If you'd like to call in, you can call 1-347-215-8816. 1-347-215-8816. And be a special guest and discussing how to live, you know, trouble, but still be a winner. Live in trouble and still be a winner. Remember, Jesus came in troubled times, different type of religions. And even so, the world was tossed and turned about different religions. But Christianity is not a religion. It's a lifestyle. Now, when we, those that decide to go into war and they find themselves going to fight against another opponent and everything is almost equal, but you know, with Christ, things are not equal. We're winners already. I'm just reading the book that so many men have written, you know, under the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, many men have written this Bible. This is why we use the Bible as the final authority, because it was written under supernatural powers, under the power of God, and many things that are written in this book that the average person could not comprehend or think of. And not only that, it's been proven out, written from different languages, different men, different parts of the world, and it all came from God. And to let you know how universal, how powerful God is, we live by it. Let's say, for instance, that the war has been forced upon you, and of course, one of the things we have to understand that once you begin to change your lifestyle, you're going to be questioned and asked, basically, from your inner circle, number one, if you're changing your whole lifestyle from all those that living with you, around you, work with you, they're always going to ask questions, why? And there are some that out really to destroy your lifestyle and your faith and your God. Here, if you was in war, you had constantly have to put on the uniform, you have to also be aware of your weapons. You have to also be aware of where the enemy is and learn a lot about your enemy. We need to learn more about where the trouble is coming from. You ever thought about it? Where is this trouble coming from? Regardless of how we define trouble, It means basically you just need help. You know, you need help from somewhere. And you didn't prepare for it. Because, you know, we prepare for a lot of things, and we are ready for that. Let's say if you had a car and you a tire went flat, you have a car. Some cars come with, you know, spare tires in it. You know, they have ways to lift the car and take the tools off and replace the tire. You prepare for that. You prepare for maintenance on your house, you know, electrical and, you know, refrigeration. You prepare for that. You prepare for roof problems. You prepare. Even you have insurance, you know, you prepare for that. But this is something that you was not prepared for. You was not prepared for. So you have to reach from outside your circle and outside your supply. And if we have a walk with Christ, you know, we keep our faith, showing our faith. James, I assure you, by my faith. So this trouble, number one, we have to say, okay, where is it coming from? Why is this? What causes? Is this challenging my faith? Then I need to know why. Where is it coming from? Is it coming from my inner circle, the environment, my job location? You know, where is it coming from? And then why? Why is it coming? Did you see this? Did you see this before? Oh, yes, I saw this before. And, you know, I got caught in this before. You might, you know, you can handle that. But now you don't know where is it coming from. So, number one, I got to find out, why is this challenging me that so where I want to leave Christ? I want to leave God. I want to leave all of my supplies and all of my protection, you know, to leave God. And when you first accept Christ, there's always a challenge. There's always a challenge. When you first accept Christ, that should be one of the principles you led into. Listen, now, when you accept Christ, people are not going to believe it. You know, you can get all kinds of songs and statements in your mind that you're not a Christian or you're not following the lifestyle. So that's a common principle. You're always going to get that. But once you have lived in it a while and you start getting challenges from people saying, you know you're a Christian. You know you know you're different. And you know you should be doing this for me. You know this, you know that. They say, oh, okay, now I see. And they know, and I got evidence. Okay, they're calling me a Christian, and I knew it, but now they see it. But why they're saying it, because they want something from me. They want something from me. So if you're going through that, then you should, number one, close that door on, and don't let no one challenge you anymore saying, well, you're not Christian, your lifestyle have not changed to be more Christ-like, you got too much faith in your Bible. You should close that door on any kind of challenge against your faith. That should not be a challenge anymore, you know, because there people are giving you statements, they're talking that you are, and that you are a Christian, that you are this, and they're persecuting for your faith. So faith should not be a trouble statement. You should not, whatever trouble you're going through, you should not be now saying, I don't have enough faith and I'm not a Christian. My troubles are beyond God. That should not be the answer. That's not the problem. That's not the problem. If someone that you know and they know and all the times they've been calling you a Christ-like person, and now you come into the breaking point, no, that's inconveniences. Because, number one, what God said, he said he will not put no more on you than you can bear. Okay, let's take for instance, if you was in the, you was a boxer, if you know anything about boxing, And you train to get in the ring. And this opponent, known to knock a person out, and he's known, you know, to really push you through all your skills. So you train for months and months and months. So now you're in the fight. Now you're in the fight. The bell rang, ding. Okay. You come out, but before you came out, if you didn't look around at the judges were all biblical judges, Isaiah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. All the judges are there. And guess who is the one in the ring with you, roughly walking around with you? Jesus in the ring. So if your opponent is, you know, the worst thing you can think of, the devil and all his demons over there, they, you know, waving their flags, they're all up on the ring, and they roughly have to tell them to get off the ring. You know, they're always unruly, breaking all the rules. And now the first round, the enemy came at you with all type of punches and illegal punches and on the head, want to bite your ear off and jabbing you below the belt, and the referee stopping it every time. Now, let's say we get into about the sixth round, and all of that nagging and all of that jabbing and all of that kicking he be doing, and, you know, the bell ring, and all of a sudden, you know, your problem get all upset. Well, why you ring the bell? It's supposed to be 3 minutes. Referee Jesus said, no, I'm just going to go 1 minute in this round. Let's go back over there and sit down in your corner. We'll sit in your corner. So here we go. The next round. Somebody threw something in the ring and hit you on the head. And now the devil know he got you. He's going to come in with all kind of combination. And he get ready to hit you with a left hook, roundhouse, or if you know anything about boxing. And Jesus said, no, you're not going to hit him with that. You're not going to hit him with that. And he counts slow. 1, 2, 3. And all of a sudden, you know, give you enough time to pull yourself back together. You know. And all the opponents is all on the floor. They're throwing napkins in the air. Said, it's a fixed fight. How can we dare win this fight? And Jesus said, ping, it's over. You're the winner. We have a riot. But you know what? They will not touch Jesus. They will not touch you. Because what? The fight is fixed. The fight is fixed. Every time you get in the ring with trouble, every time you get involved in a situation you think is beyond your head and beyond everything you can think of, oh, I can't win this. And Christ said, I'm with you. I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. I'm with you in fights. I'm with you with trouble. I'm with you in sickness. I'm with you in health. I'm with you in prosperity. He will be with you always. We have won. All you have to do is stand up. Paul said, do all the stand, and stand therefore with. And one other thing, as a Christian, one of the main principles, we have to put on the whole armor of God. We have to put on the whole armor of God. All the time, we are being bombarded. We're being thrown snares, words, different type of spirits and people come by and try to disencourage you, talk against you. So Paul was speaking, he said, put on the whole armor of God, the whole armor of God. This is found, we're going to read the translation again from Ephesians, the King James, the sixth chapter. And Paul is saying, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take upon you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. Now notice, Amplified Version says here, we are not wrestling with flesh and blood. Amplified Version says in 12 verse, we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against dispositions and against powers, against master spirits who are the world's rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in heavily supernatural spheres. Okay, then notice what the New American Standard saying here. He says, we are not struggling, for our struggling is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the world's forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. the International speaks of, and we're going to go down to here, and say, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand firmly then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. I noticed that now. I noticed that again. Let's go to the Amplified Version here in the 6th to 18th verse. And notice this again. It says that pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all matter of prayers and entreatment. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose, perseverance, and interceding on the behalf of all saints, God's consecrated people. Now, here's some points here that we have to keep in mind. Paul said, put on the whole armor. You know, mentally, you know you're saved. You've been studying and you're renewing your mind, because it constantly is always a practice, you know, because it takes about, some say 10 or 15 times or 20 times, 21 times, whatever it counts, that it become a habit. If you start praying every morning, you know, get up in the morning, pray, you know, let your knees hit the floor before you start your day out, a prayer, a model prayer, and maybe sometime before you leave that morning, you know, read a scripture, feed the spiritual man, you know, because this is a spiritual walk. You know, you're not just only flesh and blood, you're supernatural. You know, we have to remember you have an inner man, a spiritual man that come alive. He have came alive with God. He have came alive to this world systems, and he's aware that more tuned when you become born again, when you come more alive to the Spirit, because God renewed the spirit. God can rebirth the spirit. You know, like energizing. God energized that spirit to come alive to him. You come alive to the world of all, the spiritual world, the natural world. So when you come alive to God and come alive to all the other parts of the spirit, you know you have an enemy. You know you have an enemy. Those that have not been born again, they're not aware, really. Their eyes are not completely open to the Word of God, because the Word of God is spiritual. And they're not really aware that the world, spiritual world, don't love them. They're not aware. Now, we can go to this position for a moment. this point for a moment. They are not aware that the average human being is being hunted down by fallen angels. They're not aware. If they would be, if they are all aware, they will not support evil in whatever fashion it comes up, whatever fashion it might show itself, produce itself, or whatever. And these false gods, they will not support, you know, false gods and evil approaching and evil words and evil songs and evil food, evil dress, because they know it wars against their spiritual man. And you have enough war going on when you got to transform your mind. You got to transform your mind. You know, there's a movie called Transformers. They have the same car, but then the car become a supernatural a person as well as the car itself. You know, we're not Superman, but we are supernatural. When Christ come into our life, you live in a twofold life. You have a superpower in you. God has given you the power, you know, and if you go along with the prescription, if you go along with the methods and things that he give you, you'll be more than conquerors, more than conquerors. And this is what Jesus had done. He brought faith, and he said, have faith in God, trust in God. But we walk by faith and not by sight. And the only way we can please God is by faith, have trust in him. And at the same time, Jesus brought us a way to constantly, you know, be on track with God if we make mistakes. If we have made a bad choice because of lack of information. We had a wrong choice because of surroundings, but God knew your heart, and you said, Lord, forgive me and get back up. That's what we call grace. You know, it's a song that we fall down, but we get up. You know, we are sinners, but we've been bought back by grace. So, you know, you fall, and you find out, say, oh, that was a wrong decision. Oh, that was a wrong approach. And you have to beg someone pardon, or you have to ask someone for forgiveness and ask God to forgive you, and you get back up. And so in your situation, there's always victory. You're always victory. God will not let you fall. And God will not let you go through things that you're not able to bear. So we put on the whole armor of God. We're aware, and we study out scriptures, and we accept Christ in our heart, and we constantly repeat it, and we know mentally and physically that we are striving. That's the whole armor of God. He said, put on the whole armor of God that you be able to resist and stand your ground in evil day coming. And we put on the whole armor of God, okay, and take upon you the whole armor of God and be able to stand in the day. Now stand therefore with your loins about the truth. You should not try to entertain lies and false stories, you know, just to please others, because you know what it does. It meditates down in your heart and mind and soul. And Philippians says that think on these things, whatever things that are honest, whatever things are pure. Philippians 4, it say, think on these things. So we have a duty to train our mind to think on good things, not to let your mind run, and it will until you train it. You train it, because that become negative. If you don't train it, be full of negativity against God, and it's wars against God. And Paul said it, for he had found himself that there's a war going on within himself, and he's battling. He's battling with the old information. He's battling with all kind of situations that he thought he can go along with in life, but you can't. You have to renew your mind. And when you renew your mind and you find you can sleep better, you can rest better, you know, the world look different to you, and it will. It's a powerful world for those that are living for Christ. You can go through. So Paul is saying as well about the truth, having your breastplate of righteousness. You know, you might not have had a wonderful, wonderful life in sin, but no such thing, wonderful life in sin. But you thought the things that you was doing, the things that that you was doing were passable. But now you find out that you can't steal anymore, you can't lie anymore, to, you know, to get by. And so you have to, you know, you have to face certain things, face those things, and tell the truth. And Paul is saying also, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, prepare yourself, read, study, you know, build, and also what take the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and praying always. Now, prayer is always a menu, always on the menu. Regardless of whatever it is, always on the menu. Jesus prayed, Paul said, we should always pray. Man should always pray. Now, Jude gave us one of the, you know, we're building on so many things in life, and Jude is saying this, you know, that we should build on our faith. You say, why could I build on my faith? You got the whole armor of God, we got the helmet on, the breastplate on, the belt of righteousness, and, you know, we got our feet sharp, we prepared, and now we got a shield, and our shield, you know, your shield can block any kind of fierce dart. A fierce dart is, you know, is like a little, what we call mosquitoes or animals or bees, wherever you are, you know, flying, some fallen insects, you walk into all kind of insects, and you can just put your spray up or your mosquito net up and some type to protect yourself. You might be walking in the mall. You go down through the mall, and all of a sudden, oh, type someone is sitting there that's cursing and smoking and lying and all of this, and you got to walk through that. And you get down to the other side, all of a sudden, you know, you might say, oh, what are you thinking and saying that for? You might hear a song someplace, and all of a sudden, if you're not aware, it'll attach the stuff in your mind. That's what we call the fierce dots of the enemy. The mind is a battlefield. It's a battlefield. And you always have to fight in terms of revamping it. And putting songs and spiritual songs, you know, in your house, a Bible scripture being, you know, slowly played out in your house, or songs that be played out in your house, or scriptures set around, because the mind is the battlefield. That's the battlefield, and it's like a computer. If you don't delete certain things, it'll be in there. And next thing you know, it might be a big virus trying to take over. So you have to always be aware of the little fierce dots of the enemy, the fierce dots. But Jude is saying this, you know what, you can build up your faith. You can build up your faith. You can build up your faith because Paul was saying the shield of faith we use against all the fierce dots. He said, above all, take the shield of faith wherewith it shall be able to quench all the fierce dots. All the fierce dots. Notice what the New International say. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the wicked one. Of the evil one. The flaming arrows that you can distinguish, all of the flaming arrows. You never thought about it. The enemy always shooting arrows at you. They're not Cupid arrows either. You know, it's nothing to make you feel good. I like to say, Cupid. No, these are not those type of arrows. Jealousy, worration, stress, loneliness, sickness. Oh, you're sick. Oh, you're going to die. Oh, you're going to be poor. Oh, you're going to be lonely. Oh, nobody cares. All those little fierce dots. I mean, it comes. See, we have to pinpoint it now. It comes within a certain period of wherever. What's the environment when you got those dots? Where were you? What was happening? You know, where? Sometimes we just need to have go for a walk. You know, go for a walk. Walk it off. Or some type of exercise. Or go for a physical checkup. Now watch your diet. Is something that you've been eating? I'm going to share this testimony. It's a third-party testimony, but it was on the radio. And I always keep it in mind, early part of my life and my walk with Christ. And you always should share, write down, and, you know, it helps you to go from one level to another level in Christ, whereby this lady, she had shared about, you know, she decided to commit suicide, and she just didn't know what was going on. And she got to the point, he said, okay, now it's time. And the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, listen, get rid of the sugar in your house. And she was a sugar addict. She loved sugar, sweet things. She was eating so much. It helps her, help her overcome, but it drops. You know, it had gotten her to the point whereby she thought, she said, well, I can't live anymore. It was bringing a great depression in her life. It created all type of different spirits. Too much. And it's enough to deal with unforgiveness. It's enough to deal with, but your diet can cause, you have to be careful what you eat. And also make sure you get enough sleep that the body itself, it lives. We know we're body, soul, and spirit, but also we war against it. It wars against you. It fights against the inner man. So we have to be careful. Sometimes it's not other people. It might be your diet. You might just need to change your lifestyle. And that's what God leads us through. We have enough to deal with unforgiveness and changing things without being aware. First, you got to work on yourself. Work on yourself. Where is it coming from? Where's my trouble coming from? I met a man early part of the ministry, an evangelist. I was working at a radiator shop during that time. And this older man came in, and, you know, why we use an example of boxing a lot, because I have another good evangelist friend. He was an ex-boxer. And this gentleman came in. I was working on his car, you know, and I began to share my faith and gave him a little card or something, because it was a small shop. I didn't have much pressure about not sharing my faith, you know, but I wasn't pushy or anything about it. Just said something about, you know, about Christ. He said, I can't be a Christian. I said, why you can't be a Christian? He said, well, I used to be a boxer. You know, he get excited. He said, I used to be a boxer, and I was doing very well. I was a great winner, and one day, in one bout, the referee didn't stop it. He did not stop the fight. I said, what happened? He said, I killed a man. Now, here is this gentleman up in his, I know he was over 60 years of age and a senior, you know, at that time. That was about 30 years ago. And I was talking with him, and so I said, don't you know God will forgive you for past sins and different things like that, and if you honestly ask him to forgive you, he said, oh, yeah, but the rough, I said, no, but then you have to forgive yourself. If it wasn't your fault, if it was or was not, God will help you And a lot of things come through prayer. You know, prayer is our next step here. And whatever you're going through in life, you have to remember Jesus is our model. And he's our mentor. And he guides us. And what's workable today? What's workable in Matthew 7:7? It says, seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. If it's down to information, we have a lot of, this is information age, higher technology age. The Bible says, seek and you'll find. You find out what the problem is. You need help. So you go to, begin to go to certain institutions, telephone, computer, and type in your problem. Matthew 7:7, it says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it shall be opened. All right, the Amplified Version says, Matthew 7, said, keep on asking and it will be given you. Keep on seeking and you shall find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened. Everyone who keep on asking receiveth, and he that keep on seeking find. To him that keep on knocking, the door will be open. The New American Standard says, ask and shall be given you, seeking you shall find, knocking and it will be open to you. To everyone that asks receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him who knock it will be open. Now, in the International says, ask and it will be given you, seeking you shall find, knocking the door will be open to you. Everyone who asks receiveth, and who seeketh findeth, to him who knock the door will be open. Now we say all the translation saying that you have to do a work. And James said, I show you my faith by my works. All four of these translations said you do something. You must do something. You got to do something. You do something. You do something. Okay? You do something. And Jude says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. One chapter in Jude said in the 20th verse, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying. Praying. That's how you build up. Pray. Praying. Praying. Whatever the situation is, whatever it comes your way, that's talking to God. Talking to God. Talking to God. Dear beloved, but you, dear friends, International said, build yourself up on your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Building yourself, prayer builds, and all translations say building. Building, amplified here, say you, but you, beloved, build yourself up, found on the most holy faith. Make progress like a higher and higher, praying in the Holy Ghost. God, and keep yourself in the love of God. Expect and patiently wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Building up yourself. Now, we build a lot of things. We build our health, which is good. You know, we work to build up our finance. That's good. We work to build and strengthen our skills, you know, and our well as, you know, our careers. That's good. But what about your faith in God? Prayer does it. Reading and everything is that's still good. But what did Jesus do? Jesus always ended up praying. One night he prayed all night long. You have to get that confidence within you about God. Prayer does bring that confidence in you. If you like to get corresponding with us here at Doctrine of Truth, We have a website. Our website is www.jciministries.org. www.jciministries.org. And you want to email, you can do seniorbishop@jciministries.org. If you like Facebook, you can join us on our page at www.facebook.com/JesusChrist/internationalministries.inc. You can join us on Facebook.com, Jesus Christ International Ministries, INC, .INC. Or if you want to subscribe, www.youtube.com/user JCI Ministries. www.youtube.com/user JCI Ministries. Well, you might decide as well you would like to write. You would like to write the JCIM Doctrine of Truth. JCIM Doctrine of Truth. P.O. Box 25888. P.O. Box 25888. Tamarack. TAMARAC, Florida, 33320, USA. That's Tamarack, Florida, 33320, USA. Again, if you want to join us on our Facebook, www.facebook.com/JesusChristInternationalMinistriesINC, or you can subscribe www.youtube.com/userJCIMinistries, or you can visit with us on the website www.jciministries.org. www.jciministries.org. You can email me at seniorbishop@jciministries.org. We're always happy and helpful to encouraging to know that we're able to help someone in Christ. So what's workable today? To get you out of your problems. Matthew's got number one, Matthew 7:7. You know, keep the full armor of God. Paul was saying, we read Jude 20:20, and we also had Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, we had 6th chapter. Paul was as well speaking about put on the whole armor of God. Not necessarily that you at fault or you're trying to create something, but we ourselves, because of just the world we live in, create problems. But it should not push you to abandon your faith in God. Ephesians 6:11-18. Always remember prayer works. Prayer works in any condition. All condition prayer works. You know, we went to Romans as well, went to Romans, the 12th chapter, and Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Prayer works. Prayer works. Regardless of what condition you're in or what you're going through, prayer always works. We like to say, God bless you, as continue to listen to Doctrine of Truth. And we try to keep the program as simple as possible that we often get understanding. The Bible says, get wisdom, but all I getting, get understanding. Get understanding. We're about out of time, but you can still get a call in at 1-347-215-8816. 1-347-215-8816. 215-8816. Yes, Doctrine of Truth will come on from time to time, and we're trying to reach those that we can help. If you'd like to write a call and make suggestions of how we've been a help to you, we would like to know before we choose a permanent time. But we'd like to work out and seek out. That's what we are all about, spreading good news. Remember that God is still alive. He's still alive. He's watching. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Remember to get your Bible and read and feed your inner man. Feed your inner man. Feed the inner person that's in your life. He is with you always once you accept Christ. And it's always a new life, it's a new experience. You can't conquer it overnight, but you can try. That's what grace is about, giving you space to try. You know, all of us that started out, we started out trying. And find the right circle in your life, those of you that are seeking the faith walk with God, the God of the universe, the creator of all mankind, the one that created all the universes. And he watches over you. He cares for you. And he loves everybody. The same God that the rain on the just as well as the unjust. He let the snow fall on those that are evil and those that are good. He is the one to give water to everyone, if we like it or not. He's the one to give air to everyone, if we like it or not. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. And if you do all those things, then you can keep those others, all the other commandments. The commandments are holy and right all by themselves. So what God has left, he left it through his son, Jesus Christ. And you, through Jesus Christ, he came down and he showed the love of God. And not only that, but he worked with other people. We cannot hibernate and hide out, say we don't care anymore about associating with people. You need others. We need others. You might not like their lifestyle, but if you're going to lunch, you know, you're going to have somebody fix your food. You don't know what their lifestyle are. You don't know what they're about. You don't know what the trouble or situation is about. But when you fall someplace and you look around, you know, we need others. You need others, and you don't know where they're coming from or where they're going. But remember, God has all power in his hand, and he's able. He's able to help you in all your troubles. If anyone desired to talk, you know, just press 1 on your phone. I mean, we got about a minute left. We came on a little bit earlier today, but thank God for you in your troubles. Jesus is there. He said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. Pray, pray, pray. Prayer builds up. Jude 20 says, prayer builds up your faith. Through prayer, it builds. You can pray, pray, pray. As well as seeking answers. Don't settle for just what one person says. The Bible says, out of mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, let my word be established. And you, out of a multitude of counselors, there's safety. There's somebody out there has gone through the same problem you're going through. You know what? Jesus said, I'm with you. I'm with you. Oh. So we have about 60 seconds left. God bless you. If you like to call or write, you know, you can always go to our website, www.jciministries.org, jciministries.org. God bless you. We'll close with a prayer. Father, we thank you for the listeners, oh God, of this great broadcast, blog talk radio, and the effort to spread the gospel, to give peace to people's lives. Lord, we ask you to bring peace now to those that are listening. Help them to solve their problem through your spirit. And Lord, we know you're able, oh God, to quench all fierce darts of the enemy. As we have our faith in you, we live in you, we walk in you. God bless you. Blog Talk Radio. We'll see you again. God bless you, and have a Jesus-filled day.